You know, it is so fascinating that this man had such an intimate relationship with God that he had this kind of trust in his God. Strike them with blindness. Now open their eyes. Then the Lord opened their eyes. Verse 20 continues. And they looked, and there they were, inside Samaria. When the king of Israel saw them, he asked Elisha, "Shall I kill them, my father?" He, of course, as many of you know, Elisha wasn't literally the king's biological father, but this was a title of honor, letting where the king was making it clear that he truly looked up to Elisha. And whatever guidance Elisha would provide, the king was ready to honor because he respected Elisha that much. "Shall I kill them, my father? Shall I kill them?" "Do not kill them," he answered. "Would you kill men you have captured with your own sword or bow? Set food and water before them so that they may eat and drink and then go back to their master. Can you help me say, wow?" These men came to do Elisha no good. Were they going to kill him? Were they going to capture him and take him back to their country? We weren't told. But you're talking all these men, all these horses and chariots. I think that it's probably safe to assume that they weren't there to suggest that Elisha play a couple of games, few games of basketball, and best 2 out of 3 wins. You win 2 out of 3. All right, you stay home. You continue to hear from God and let your king know what our strategies are. But if we win 2 out of 3, then you have to stop telling your king what our strategies are. No, I don't think that was their plan. I don't think so. But also remember, those people had been wreaking havoc in the lives of the Israelites. And that's why the king of Israel said, "Shall I kill them?" Elisha said, "Do not kill them. Not only don't kill them, but don't even keep them captive. Instead, give them some food, give them some drink, and then send them back home to their master." So he prepared a great feast for them. And after they had finished eating and drinking, he sent them away, and they returned to their master. So the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Ladies and gentlemen, that was such an amazing act, feat, display of power. The main thing that the Israelites needed was for the people of Aram to stop messing with them. So they could have killed them. Could have killed those soldiers while they were in Samaria, but would that have ended the war, or would that have escalated the war? Elisha said, "Don't kill them. Give them food and drink. Send them back home to their master." The king prepared a feast for them. And after that was all over, there was no more need for Elisha to convey to the king of Israel the military strategies of the king of Aram, because the bands from Aram stopped raiding Israel's territory. Israel got what Israel needed. Peace. At least from that country. They got what they needed. They got what they wanted. An end to the raids. Now, if you look at this, you'll see that really and truly, this was all about God's power. Remember, God is the one who empowered his servant, Elisha, the prophet, to develop the kind of relationship that Elisha had with God, that Elisha could say, Lord, strike them with blindness, and the Lord would do it. Remember how God let Moses know, look, we're going to bring frogs on the land. They're not going to leave until you pray to me and ask me to make them leave. Same thing with the gnats. I mean, and everything else that got sent as a plague on the nation of Egypt because the Pharaoh refused to let his people go, refused to let God's people go, refused to free them. And notice the relationship. God initiating everything. God giving the parameters. And God having predetermined that he was going to have his servant Moses, who was also his friend, participate actively in the destruction of his enemies so that he could participate actively in the release of God's people. All the way to the end, where Moses had to stretch out his rod pointing in the direction of the Red Sea, or the Sea of Reeds, whichever you prefer to call it. And God, once Moses obeyed him, stretched his rod out towards that sea, God parted the waters, making part of it stand up as one wall on the right, the other wall stand up, the other part of the water stand up as a wall on the left. God dried the ground out so that the Israelites could cross over to the other side. Once they were all over, all the women, all the men, all the children, all the cattle, everything that was theirs on the other side, Pharaoh and his army decided they were going to cross over too and continue their pursuit of God's people. And when they were committed, they were so far in that there was no way they were going to be able to get out. God commanded his servant, his friend Moses, to stretch his rod in the direction of the water again, to see again, and Moses did so, knowing that God was going to bring those waters back together and kill the Pharaoh and his entire army, because God had told him that's what he was going to do. Moses obeyed. God did exactly what he said he would do. Elisha, working in tandem with God, strike them with blindness. Once they were in Samaria, where they knew they could have been wiped out, okay, now Lord, open their eyes. And he did so. What a relationship. What a mighty God.